Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Hello and happy Sunday, Packers fans. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. It is great to be back chatting Green Bay Packers football with you. Nothing I'd rather be doing. And we've got a fun episode today. We're going to be going over center Drew Dahlman. We haven't gone over really any offensive linemen yet. It's been sort of hard to kind of identify who they would potentially go after. I'll go over that reason why in just a moment. Before we get there, a couple pieces of news and notes. First of all, Jobin, thank you so much for signing up to become a brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube member. Make sure to check out those memberships. Members Q&A every single week. Desperately trying to get some additional members-only content out there as well. Hopefully we'll have something up there for you guys soon, but just been really, really, really busy as of late, but that'll definitely get up there soon. But Jobin, thanks so much for signing up. And again, we do still have those members Q&As every single week. Of course, make sure to like, subscribe, comment, give those five-star reviews. Those things help the channel so unbelievably much. Just click on things too. Anything you can click on in the YouTube channel from a Pack-A-Day standpoint, those things always help the algorithm a ton also. But as always, it is more than enough just to be here, just to show up, chat Packers, and that's always the best thing possible. So thank you so much for that. A couple other pieces of Packers news and notes. I guess it's not really a Packers news and note anymore, but the Steelers either are releasing or did release Preston Smith. I think they are planning on releasing Preston Smith, if I remember correctly. But either way, he's not going to be a Pittsburgh Steeler moving forward. This is part of the reason that Green Bay moved on during the season, is there was zero opportunity that they were going to not release him this offseason. Another, you know, sort of restructure or anything like that was just not going to work. And he was clearly starting to get to that point where he just wasn't helping as much as you would have liked him to. Probably a year too long for Green Bay, but they were able to reconcile that and actually get something in return. Saved some money, saved a couple million dollars on the salary cap last year by trading him early, picked up a seventh round pick in the process. And it was funny kind of looking back. A lot of people are like, why is Green Bay selling at the deadline? They didn't. They got an additional $2 million. They got a seventh round pick for a player who wasn't performing, who wanted out of Green Bay, who didn't fit in the system. And it gave Brenton Cox an opportunity to play, who played better than Preston Smith was playing anyway. It doesn't maybe seem like it on the surface, but it was actually not really a sell. It was really a bonus to be able to get anything in return for him, plus to get off of some of that money. It worked out fantastic. It didn't work out great for the Steelers. They didn't really do anything with it. They weren't really set to compete at any sort of high level, probably with, you know, Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. So to give up even just a seventh round pick and a couple extra million to bring Preston Smith in is like your fourth defense or fourth, you know, 3-4 outside linebacker. I think he was inactive at the end of the year. Did not work out for them. Didn't really work out for Preston. It ended up working out great for Green Bay. You know, so a rough week to be a former Green Bay Packer who was traded away from the team. Aaron Rodgers notified he's being released. Preston Smith notified he's being released. And by the way, no disrespect towards Preston Smith. I hope he lands on his feet. I hope he goes and crushes it. Yeah, I was really hoping, quite frankly, it was going to work out for him well in Pittsburgh. And he would be able to go and play in a 3-4 again and, you know, hopefully kind of find himself again. It just didn't work out that way, unfortunately. But hopefully he can land on his feet, find a new spot. As long as it's not in the NFC North, that would be very, very nice. And and find his next place where he can go out and play some good football. That'd be great for him. And I'll certainly be cheering him on every step of the way. But that deal definitely worked out for Green Bay. Not in like a significant way, but it's not nothing either. I mean, you have now an extra $2 million to spend in free agency, and you've got a seventh round pick that you didn't have before. And like, you bet, it's just a seventh round, like Rashid Walker. They traded a seventh for Malik Willis. Like, we can go on and on. Like, they have got some Carrington Valentine. That's not nothing, especially the way that Goody's been finding some of these players in later rounds as of late. So not nothing there in that trade for Preston Smith. And again, did not work out great for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Meanwhile, John Eric Sullivan, a finalist for the Jacksonville Jaguars GM position. I think he was one of five finalists, if I remember right. But we'll see if he ultimately gets that job. It's impossible to look you in the eye and tell you what that would mean for Green Bay. I'm assuming it's probably bad. right? Like if you lose one of your top personnel guys to another team to make him GM somewhere else, it probably doesn't help your franchise. It's probably going to be a significant loss to some extent. I don't know. We don't have a ton of data on, you know, who John Eric Sullivan really was, you know, wanting as a part of this organization and who he went out on a limb for and things like that. That stuff's just not, you know, like public information. So I'm sure Goody would hate to lose him. I'm sure he'd be excited for John Eric Sullivan to get that opportunity. He made mention multiple times that he's ready for it. And, you know, anytime you get those opportunities, they don't come along often. So rooting for John Eric Sullivan, hopefully he goes out and crushes it, gets that job, and what that would mean for the Packers and how they might have to restructure some things. And they have an opening there. Those things would remain to be seen. But as of right now, he is a finalist for that Jacksonville position. Let's get to Jeu Dolman, like just kind of in the realm of that. I was really excited to go through Jeu Dolman. And let me just be crystal clear. There's some very fun stuff on tape from Jeu Dolman. No question about it. He's a good player. He's going to get a good solid deal in free agency. And some team is probably going to be pretty lucky to have him. I don't think it's going to be Green Bay, not to sort of spoil things here. But let me just say, this free agency class is really bumming me out. I'm desperately trying everything I can to find that Xavier McKinney signing. And to be very fair here, it doesn't necessarily have to be that, right? You can find good free agents that don't necessarily have to be a perfect free agent signing like a Xavier McKinney was. I think Josh Jacobs is actually a pretty great, you know, sort of indicator of that. I'll be totally transparent. Before you can go back and listen to it, I will own my mistakes and things like that along the way every single time as much as I can. And prior to free agency last year, we were looking at, you know, different positions. And I think I don't know if we just looked at running backs or what it was, but I looked at Josh Jacobs a bit prior to the start of free agency and zero interest. Did not, you know, coming off one of his roughest seasons, you know, you looked at the analytics were not good. And I went and watched some of the tape and 2023 was definitely a legitimately not as good year for Josh Jacobs. Partly due to the run blocking up front, but it wasn't all of it. And to go out and spend big money on a free agent running back that was coming off his arguably his worst season and, you know, weren't sure if he still had that, you know, ultra playmaking ability, I had some cause for concern. That worked out pretty darn well. He was a fantastic addition for Green Bay this past season, was quite arguably the MVP of the team. The heartbeat of the team in multiple times, put the team on his back in some big occasions and tried to do it as best as he could in that final playoff game against Philly. But really great sign in there. So just because there doesn't seem to necessarily be that on the surface right now, doesn't mean that Green Bay and Brian Gutekunst cannot find a good player like they did with Josh Jacobs, who was, again, pretty freaking awesome last year. But Xavier McKinney last year just had everything that you wanted. I mean, just picture perfect. The position, the age, the talent, just resume from a Giants standpoint, what he did at safety there. He had everything that you were looking for, everything the Packers needed. It was just that perfect fit. And I'm going through and I'm looking at corners, wide receivers, offensive linemen, and, you know, obviously pass rushers, defensive tackles, defensive ends, just trying to find that guy, somebody that's prime of his career, you're willing to pay more money for. And, you know, really fantastic player for whatever reason he made free agency and he shouldn't have. And there just isn't that guy. And we've been talking about it through pretty much every one of these. There are some players I like. I like Josh Sweat. I really do. I think he definitely makes some sense. He probably just got himself a much bigger paycheck with that playoff and Super Bowl performance. I like Khalil Mack. He's, you know, bordering on retiring, right? 34, 35 years old coming up. It's not an ideal age. I still am intrigued by Davante Adams. Age, again, becomes a factor there. And like Jeu Dolman was somebody I was excited to look at. I didn't expect them maybe to go out and sign a big-time center. It's not usually within their DNA of what they do. But with Josh Myers being a free agent and, you know, I think building through the trenches is going to be very in vogue this offseason. All right, let's look at him. He's in the prime of his career, super athletic, coming off a great season. Could this be a guy? Could this be somebody that they really add to the center of that offensive line, literally? And he can be something that unlocks the passing game a little bit more pass pro, and really unlocks the running game as well. I think he would help in the running game quite a bit. We'll go over that in just a moment, but there's still deficiencies there. He's not, He's not perfect. There's some flaws in his game. And it just, again, left me a little bit underwhelmed. And I think somebody's ultimately going to overpay a little bit for Drew Dalman as well. And that's, of course, what you want to avoid. You don't want to go and sign a good player to a great meaning a player that you would a contract that you would give a great player. That's not what you're looking to do. You don't want to give, you know, a $20 million contract to somebody and they only live up to 10 million of it, 12 million, 13, 15, whatever it is. If it's not 20, it ends up not being a great deal for you. And that's what I feel like a lot of this free agency is going to be. Even T. Higgins, right? Like a part of me would like, if this was a Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson style wide receiver that was out there, like a real true 1A undeniable talent, even then I would probably get to the point looking at the rest of the free agency class and just say, if it takes $30 million to get that guy, go put $30 million in that guy. I'm okay with that because he's, you know, prime of his career and he's an absolute stud and he's going to completely unlock the offense. It maybe isn't team building 101, and Brian Gutekunst has brought that up. The teams that spend that money on wide receiver haven't exactly had phenomenal results, but I would not be against it at that point. But I don't feel like T. Higgins is that guy. I think he's a tier below that, and you're going to pay the tier above it to get a tier below player. And I'm just going one by one by one by one. And it's not to say that there's not players I haven't liked. You can go through any of our breakdowns so far, and there absolutely are. I like Milton Williams. I like Josh Sweat. I like Khalil Mack. I think there's some good pass rushers there. Some of the corners are slightly intriguing here or there. Devontae's still somewhat intriguing, but it's really, really been tough to find anything that just gets me super, super excited at this point. And maybe that gives you the incentive to go out and make a trade for a Max Crosby or a Myles Garrett or somebody like that. Maybe because there isn't that perfect 1A guy in free agency, you have to think outside the box a little bit more. Or maybe it's not even a trade for a Garrett. Maybe you're looking to get pick 23 up aggressively in the draft into the top 10, something like that, where you can grab one of the real impact premium players in this draft that you think is going to help you right now. And doing it in Green Bay might be a fun way and fun time to do that. I don't know what it is. I really don't. But this free agency class has been underwhelming to say the least, and it's bumming me out because this should be a year where Green Bay is able to go out and sign a premium free agent or two, and it just hasn't really shown itself in a way that would make me super excited about any of these players. There's a lot that I will still get probably semi-excited for if Green Bay actually does sign them, but again, haven't found that perfect one yet, haven't found that perfect fit. By the way, I should also mention there are going to be a lot of players released. Kendall Fuller was recently released. I don't think he's going to be, again, that 1A fit, but he could potentially be a fit for Green Bay. And we talked about him at the trade deadline. There are other players that are going to get released that could make sense for Green Bay along the way. So just because we're looking at this free agency group right now and being like, oh, it's a little bit underwhelming, let's wait a few weeks, see if any other players get released that maybe change the thinking on that a little bit. There could very well happen that way. But we're going to have to kind of wait and see. Let's get into Drew Dalman, though. And again, there is some really good stuff here. And there's some stuff that fits Green Bay very, very well. We know why Green Bay would potentially need a center. Josh Myers is a free agent. You know, they don't need one. They've got Elgton Jenkins. They've got Sean Ryan, who practiced a lot there. I know that the Jenkins center snaps didn't go great last year. But I think if he played it full-time and practiced it full-time, I don't think there'd be any issue. It's what he played in college. And he, like, for a long time projected to be that at that spot. Zach Tom, of course, can play it. Jacob Monk can play it. Like, they have centers. They're not lacking for centers. The question is, do you want any of them to play there? Would you prefer Jenkins at guard? Probably. Would you prefer Ryan at guard? Probably. Would you prefer Tom at tackle? Definitely. And is Jacob Monk ready yet? Probably not. So that becomes the problem, right? So do you just go and get one and say, you know what? That could be a potential upgrade to Josh Myers. Would give you more depth along the offensive line, more competition. It's just not usually what Green Bay does on the interior of the offensive line, at least. He is a true free agent. He is PFF's 22nd ranked free agent overall. PFF expects a four-year, $46 million deal at $11.5 million per year. Spotrac is significantly less. 3 years, $20.3 million, 6.75. My guess is he gets north of $9 to $10 million. I think PFF's much more close on this. If you look at what like Lloyd Cushenberry got as a center last year, and I think Dalman was at least in that conversation, maybe a little bit better, maybe a little bit worse, but at least in that conversation. You look at what John Runyon Jr. on the interior got last year. Dalman's definitely better than that, and Runyon got 10 mil per year. So I think it's going to definitely be more in that range from a PFF standpoint, what they had, than what Spotrac had. But not a complete, like, we're not talking a $20 million a year signing here, right? We're talking about getting a good center for somewhere around $10, $11 million per year. That's not a complete deal breaker, especially when you've got some money to spend and there may not be that perfect player to spend it on. Well, it's over. Football season has officially come to an end and Green Bay now starts fresh as they look forward to the 2025-2026 season. But just because football season's over doesn't mean prize pick season needs to come to an end. While there's never a bad time to sign up, you can download the app right now and sign up today to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. And don't forget that prize picks doesn't end with football season. Basketball, college basketball, soccer, tennis, women's college basketball, darts, and so many more sports and options are out there for you to play right now. This week, I'm going with Darius Garland to have a huge week for Cleveland, Anthony Edwards to go off for Minnesota, and I'm even expecting a big game for Jude Bellingham in soccer. I'm keeping my eyes on absolutely everything. Just make sure you don't forget to download the Prize Picks app today and use code Packaday to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's the Prize Picks app using code Packaday to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. So what are you waiting for? Prize Picks, run your game. For PFF, he played 9 games this past year, started all 9, had 273 pass block opportunities, allowed 10 pressures, had a 97.8% blocking efficiency, again, per PFF, allowed 2 sacks, 1 hit, 7 hurries, which was those 10 pressures combined, and had 3 penalties total. In 2023, had 491 pass blocking opportunities, gave up 29 pressures, 2 sacks, 6 hits, 21 hurries, a 96.8% efficiency with 5 penalties. In his career, 1,285 opportunities, 70 pressures, 97.1% efficiency, and 19 penalties. To give you a comparison to Josh Myers here, Josh Myers played over 700 more snaps, 2004, or at least pass pro opportunities, 700 more, 2004 overall opportunities. Myers gave up 81 pressures, and it was Dahlman who gave up 70 pressures, only 11 fewer, but he had over 700 fewer opportunities as well. Myers had the better pass blocking efficiency with a 97.8 and had 6 fewer penalties. So it's noteworthy there. When I say that it may be not, you know, it might not be quite as much of an upgrade, that's the reason why. The pass blocking is actually, for the most part, advantaged Josh Myers. Not quite as much this past year, but overall, through the course of their career, Myers, at least per PFF, has actually been a little bit more consistent as a pass blocker. Now, Dahlman's overall grades over the last 4 years, 78.8, 82.3, 65.9, and 78.3. Compare that to Josh Myers. Myers was a 54.2, 54.7, 60.4, 54.9. I mean, you are getting a much higher graded center by PFF standards in Dahlman than what Myers has ever been. Dahlman's worst year was a 65.9. Myers' best year was a 60.4. Dahlman's best year was an 82.3. Myers' worst was a 54.2, which happened to be this past year. Dahlman's run blocking grades, here's the big one. 79.8, 90.0, 69.5, 92.3. Consistently great. Myers' run blocking grades, 50.9, 53.2, 53.5, 49.4. His highest ever was a 53.5. Dahlman's lowest was a 69.5. He had 2 seasons over 90. So a much, much, much better run blocker that absolutely showed up on tape as well. Dahlman's pass blocking grades, 66.6, 53.0, 55.1, 40.9. Myers, 62.5. So Dahlman was a little bit better this past year. But then Myers was 62.5, 55.7, 74.3, and 65.9. So actually much better. 4 years ago, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, Myers was a little bit better. This past year, Dahlman was a little bit better. But overall, through the course of their careers, Myers has actually been the much better pass protector. Scouting report turns 27 in October. Dahlman, that is. Actually, Myers turns 27 this year as well. Dahlman is 6'3", 300 pounds, a little bit shorter, a little bit lighter, but he makes up for it in a lot of different ways. Had a relative athletic score of 9.92 coming out of college. He absolutely crushed the testing. He's a phenomenal athlete, 99th percentile athlete at the center position. Was initially a 4th round pick in 2021 out of Stanford. The positives on Dahlman, he, as mentioned here, is incredibly athletic. He has fantastic lateral quickness. He gets off the ball incredibly quick. And that quickness is really integral to his game. His ability to get to his spots much quicker than the defender will, and then sort of get set and get ready to block before, while the defensive lineman's still getting out of their stance and trying to make those initial moves. Dahlman's already in his stance, might even be moved a gap over. Like, he just has such great quickness, both out of the snap, getting up in his stance, and again, moving laterally. It's really, really impressive to watch. He is a great fit for Matt LaFleur's normal zone blocking scheme, especially like stretch outside and outside zone blocking scheme. He's phenomenal at it. That is what he is made for. The issue is that Matt LaFleur went away from that this past year with Josh Jacobs. So that's actually a key here, is if Matt kind of wants to get back to his roots and go more, you know, outside stretch and outside zone, well, then Dahlman is a chef kiss perfect fit in that offense. If we're going back to Josh Jacobs style, which Josh Jacobs is still the running back, so I think there's a pretty good chance of that, Dahlman's still going to be a big upgrade as a run blocker, but he doesn't fit that scheme quite as well. That's a very interesting nuance here. Overall, he's a very clean snapper, meaning he's very clean on his snaps to the quarterback out of shotgun, and obviously under center as well, but those are easier. But shotgun have been, you know, overall great snaps. Turns defenders and seals them incredibly well. So he gets inside of them, and he's able to turn them and then seal them off, and it allows for those run lanes. I mean, as a zone blocker, that's a lot of what you're doing. As somebody that's not a mauler, that's a lot of what you're doing. You're getting inside, or you're getting your hands inside of them, and then you're walling or sealing them off, right? It's allowing those rushing lanes. He's fantastic at it. Really, really, really good at it. He's got a low center of gravity, fantastic balance. He is rarely on the ground. I mean, it usually takes like some fluke play to get Drew Dahlman on the ground. He is consistently blocking upright, and it is tough to get him off balance. He is rarely penalized, as we talked about a little bit earlier. Can get his hands inside and manipulate defenders. Gets to the second level with ease, which you would expect, right? With that unbelievable athleticism. Shot out of a cannon, second level, right to the linebackers. I mean, it is easy. Even like, he'll make that initial block, boom, up to the second level. If you want to run anything to the outside and you want to get those linebackers on the second level sealed off so they can't get sideline to sideline, Drew Dahlman's your dude. Like, he is going to get there, cut you off, and make it so that that linebacker can't get outside and maybe make that play. That is a very, very tough thing to do. A very tough thing to do. And Dahlman can make it happen. 26 years old, 99th percentile athlete, still coming into his prime, coming off the best season of his career, not going to break the bank in a significant way. There are very clearly some reasons why you would want to go and sign a Drew Dahlman. And again, he's a very, very good run blocker in a zone blocking scheme. Negatives: inconsistent hand placement. So when he doesn't get his hands inside, which is pretty much a copy paste statement for the vast majority of offensive linemen, if you don't get your hands inside, whether they get outside or whether they get too high, too low, if you don't hit your targets, it's going to be really, really difficult to block. And he's a little bit inconsistent with it. A couple instances where he gets caught flat footed and he just gets beat. So just got to keep those feet chopping, keep them moving. If you're, you know, if they get stuck, you're stuck. You're not going anywhere. You're not changing directions. And it mitigates all of that great athleticism, right? So you've got all this unbelievable athleticism. Your feet stop moving. That all goes out the window. Everyone in the NFL is a better athlete than you if their feet are moving and your feet are not. And you saw that a couple different times with him where the feet got stuck and then he was beat. So he's just got to make sure those feet stay moving and he can get to his landmarks and get to anywhere he wants to go and then use all of that unbelievable athleticism. Lacking overall anchor and physicality. As I mentioned, he's not a mauler, 6'3", 300 on the smaller size. It's going to take that athleticism and technique to win. He's not going to win with power and strength, just not who he is. Anchor's okay, especially for his size, but it's not, again, like you're, you know, 6'5", you know, 330 pound guy where they get into him and he just squats down and it's like, good luck. You're not going anywhere. It's like Mario in the Tanuki suit. He just turns into the statue, right? That's a pull for not the young ones out there. Needs to be quicker identifying twists and stunts. And this isn't from like a communication standpoint. It's like he gets out and makes the block and then all of a sudden somebody's coming around and he recognizes it late and he's a step late over to it. And sometimes he can make up with it with his athleticism, but he's just got to keep those eyes scanning and making sure that there's not somebody coming inside on him because he was just too late on, I wouldn't say like a ton, but just too many. And he's got to be a little bit better at that. Would love to see him finish off some linebackers with more authority. He gets to that second level, but now, like, I can understand if you're a smaller offensive lineman, right? You might be more of a, a seal offensive lineman, right? Get there, seal him off, you know, kind of anchor down a little bit, and then they can get through there. That's fine. You're not probably, you get to some of those 320, 330 pound defensive tackles and those tackles. I'm not expecting you to go and move that dude, right? But you get to that second level against a 220 pound linebacker, I'm expecting you, once you get there, to be able to do some damage. And I thought Dahlman was still kind of sealing and just getting to his spots. Like, go nuke that dude. I wanted to see a little bit more intensity. He doesn't have that real kind of nasty, at least it didn't feel like it on all 22. Sometimes it's really tough to see on all 22 if he's got that nasty to him. I'm not seeing him bite people in the, you know, under a pile of bodies on a fumble scrum or anything like that. I can't see that stuff, right? But it felt like, again, maybe a little bit more finesse, but I don't know, maybe he has that nasty and it's just a very difficult thing to tell on all 22. Not an ideal center for short yardage, although he does get low man wins, but again, not a power mover there. You know, you didn't see too many QB sneaks in Atlanta this past year. A couple errant snaps. He had one over the head of Cousins, one over the head of Bijan Robinson, who was playing in like a wildcat sort of formation. And then also one where the receiver was coming across and he snapped it and it hit into the receiver's leg. I think that was week one or early in the season, and they lost the fumble on that one. 2024 was an outlier for pass pro, and it was still just okay. And that was his best season, at least per PFF. I went and watched all of the 2024. I watched a little bit of 2023, but 2024 was my main viewing experience. And at least per PFF, his previous years were not as good in pass pro. And even 2024 was not great, but it was definitely an outlier from a good standpoint. So if his best is just okay, and everything else before that was not great, you know, it could have just easily been an outlier, and he might still really struggle in pass pro moving forward. Not a mauler in the run game, predicated on quickness and technique. Tough to tell from tape how he handles identifying blitzes and communicating up front. Just not something I can tell, right? He might be a phenomenal communicator and might be able to identify all the blitzes in the world. He might suck at it. And that's just something I can't evaluate from the tape. I didn't see any deficiencies with blitz pickups or anything like that where it would give me a tell of like, okay, we could have a problem here. In fact, I didn't really see any blitzes even going against Minnesota. Like, maybe one, but like for the most part, I thought they did a great job protecting it up front, which usually gives you an indicator that the center's getting that stuff called the right way. But again, I can't see that on all 22. So I just can't say one way or the other. Also missed 8 games with an ankle injury in 2024 and 3 with an ankle injury in 2023. So he has had a few injury issues specifically with his ankles. The long and short of it, should Green Bay sign him? You know, there's a lot of athletic traits to like. Still in the prime of his career. He's more consistent than Josh Myers. I do think, depending on what running game you're going to go with, and even no matter what, he would unlock it in a way that Josh Myers just is not able to do. He is clearly a better run blocker than Josh Myers, and there's not really any question about it. It's just the overall game is not as significantly better as I was hoping it to be. And if you're going to go out and spend a top center contract, like, you're hoping to get a Creed Humphrey level player, and this just is not that. I think he's good. I think he might even be close to really good, but still deficiencies, and I'm not sure I'd want to be the team that's giving him that really big contract. I'm not sure he's going to completely live up to it. But again, you're probably going to have to pay somebody. It's probably going to be an overpay, and you're going to just have to be very careful with who you choose and hope that they somehow find a way to live up to that contract. It wouldn't stun me if Dahlman did at all. I think he'd be a good pickup overall. I was just, once again, hoping for a great pickup, and I just didn't see it in Dahlman. You know, if his pass pro was a little bit better, and if Green Bay was running that outside, you know, stretch, you know, zone scheme a little bit more, I'd probably be a little bit more all in on it. Not all in, but at least very in on it. But just with the change in the running game to Josh Jacobs, the pass pro not being anything really better than what Myers brings. In fact, again, Myers has been better over the last 4 years. That to me is not good enough. That's not something to go be like, let's go spend a good chunk of money on this guy. Wouldn't be bad at all. Would be an upgrade, but just not what I was maybe hoping for there. Another player, again, destined to get overpaid. Don't really want Green Bay to do it, especially when they've got options at the position already. Wouldn't hate it. Wouldn't be mad if they do it. Won't be mad if they don't do it. Just don't expect it either way. And I think it's probably best that they kind of stay away from that option. Free agency class is so meh. I need a little bit more. Teams need to start cutting some more players or something. I'm not sure what needs to happen, but just a little underwhelming, which is a bit of a disappointment. That's going to do it for me today, though. Thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate you guys a ton. Shout out to our All Pro and Hall of Fame members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Huang, Arnaldo Espinosa, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Guestford, Step Keat, Dylan Patscott, Bobby Santoro, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, and Razul Douglas time. I will see you guys right back here tomorrow for an all new episode. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.